Good morning, everyone, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you very much for being here with us today. Welcome to the teleconference with IMC to discuss the earnings concerning the third quarter of 2021. The presentation is available for download at www.internationalmealcompany.com/RI. Let me also inform you that every one of the participants will be listening to this teleconference during the presentation, and soon after that, we're going to have a Q&A session for analysts and investors. At such time, more instructions will be given to you. If you need assistance during the call, please ask the help of one of our operators by keying *0. And forecasts about future events are subject to risks and uncertainties, which may actually lead such expectations not to materialize or to materialize in different terms than expected. These forecasts reflect only the opinions given at the time they are produced. In this conference, we have Mr. Alexandre. I'm sorry, there's quite a bit of noise and I can't hear what they're saying. Thank you, Sheila. Good morning, everyone. I hope that you and your families are well. And thank you again for connecting today with us in our call from IMC, in which we're going to talk about the results for the third quarter of 2021. And this is actually my second as the CEO of this organization. Let me start by thanking everyone for being here, everyone from our operations for their hard work and their ability to overcome challenges, specifically during the hardest moments of the pandemic. We are now facing a very different scenario from the one we had earlier this year, with Brazil getting to the landmark of 60% of its population fully vaccinated and seeing, therefore, as a consequence, a new influx of customers in our businesses. We ended the third quarter with sales for the same stores now 12% above our pre-pandemic levels and with the greatest revenues in our history. And in spite of this very strong recovery that we have had in our sales, we will not take any less care with preventive measures so that we can keep providing our folks and our clients with the best conditions possible. So thank you very much, all of you, my dear friends at the IMC team, franchisees, suppliers, and partners. I would now like to start my presentation by going through our transformation agenda, which you can see on slide number 2. Even though we set up this agenda only shortly ago, it helps us guide our teams in regards to things that we should be focusing on in everyday actions and also in our investment definitions and preparations for the future. I'd also like to remind you that our transformation agenda is first based on a pillar which we call people and culture. And in this area, I have to say that I'm very happy with our ability not only to retain the existing talents that we have at IMC, but also with our ability to attract new talent into our team, which was actually the case of the recent arrival of Rafael, our CFO, and Ricardo Azevedo, the executive director for Pizza Hut. Our team and our culture is the basis for everything that we mean to build here at IMC. Another important pillar in our plan is our ESG commitments. And we have been working really hard in this area, and we will also describe our ESG goals for the next 5 years at the start of the first quarter of 2022. And as we look at the four ingredients of our transformation agenda, which are operating excellence, expansion, digitization, and financial discipline, it is very clear to us that we have only taken the very first few steps in a long journey. And throughout this presentation, I will cover the main highlights in these areas. It is also important to say that the goal here is to further strengthen our brands and deliver sustainable, profitable growth focused always on our consumers. At the end, we mean to deliver the best experience possible to them with quality, convenience, service, and price. Okay, So after these introductory remarks, let's move on to our results. What we have here is a summary chart showing the main highlights of this quarter, and this is on slide number 3. And as you can see, this has been one of the best quarters that we have ever had. Our revenue went above 540 million reais, an 81% increase when compared to the same period of last year. Our sales at the same stores increased by 12% in relation to the pre-pandemic times and increased by 75% in relation to the third quarter of 2020. Our EBITDA reached 77.9 million reais, an 83% increase in relation to the same time period of last year, and we got an EBITDA margin of 14.4%. We've also been successful with our cash management strategy, which has led us to a net debt of 172 million reais, which is basically 1.9 times the EBITDA that we have had in the past 12 months. It is also important to mention that our covenant for debt at that moment was of 7.5 times. And this was given at the same time as we went back to making investments in our focus brands, getting to 515 stores at the end of the quarter, increasing by 25 stores in our portfolio, which accounts for a growth of 5% of our system. As you can actually see in our next slide, which is slide number 4. So out of these 25 new stores, 20 of them are corporate stores, which increased our mix of corporate stores to 51% in our total system. And this growth happened because of the focus that we have given on Margarita View and KFC, very much in line with our long-term strategies. So let's now switch to slide number 5, in which I am going to talk in more detail about revenues. We have had our best quarter in terms of revenue. We got an increase of 81% in relation to the same time period of last year. And this also meant a 20% increase when compared to the second quarter of 2021. Here in Brazil, we have seen every one of our operations go through strong recovery. And as we see our stores also opening up normally, and a consequent increase in the number of people going to our stores and shopping malls, airports, and highways. I would like to talk a little about the operations of KFC and Frango Assado, and performed pretty well this semester. At Frango Assado, we've actually surpassed our sales of 2019, but with a somewhat unfavorable mix since this recovery happened more quickly in our fuel business rather than in a restaurant business. Good news, however, is that restaurants from Frango Assado, our sales are now at the same level as they were in 2019 in October. And taking advantage of this positive moment, we have just opened a new store of Frango Assado in partnership with the Monte Carlo Network in the Guará region. And the first in the state of São Paulo, the first store Frango Assado opened in 8 years. Now, going on to the U.S., and in which we had a recovery curve for the COVID, which is actually different than that of Brazil. They did it faster than we did here. We had strong performance in the first quarter because of seasonality, which was expected, because of the summer in the U.S., but also because of a growth seen in internal tourism. And in the Caribbean, we've had actually two different situations. Our catering operations in Colombia are still hurting a little from the pandemic-related restrictions, but those were more than offset by the strong performance of our operations in the airport in Panama, which had a significant recovery in a number of passengers going through that airport. Now, moving on to slide number 5, and in it we have sales in our same stores during the past few quarters. We have here the consolidated numbers and the broken down numbers per brand. And you should see that if you look at the consolidated numbers, we now got to a level 12% above pre-pandemic levels. And it's also worthwhile mentioning that in October, this number has actually leapt to 15%, showing the resilience of our business and the strength of our brands. It is interesting to see that as you see the breakdown by brand, KFC has actually gotten to 6% greater levels of performance now on a third quarter, when compared to pre-pandemic levels. And at Pizza Hut, we've seen a progress on a month-to-month basis, getting to 94% of our pre-pandemic levels in the month of October. stemming from a series of commercial actions, improvements in our midst, and also a resumption of people, you know, going to shopping malls and airport stores. Now, moving on to the next slide, and this is slide number 7, we can see the progress that we have had in performance in our delivery channel throughout the entire system. And I'm talking about corporate stores and franchisee stores alike. And we got to a landmark of 95.8 million reais of revenues in this quarter, 2.2 times greater the levels that we had before the pandemic. And on the second chart, as you can see here, the share of the delivery in the businesses of Pizza Hut and KFC has now surpassed the 30% milestone, in spite of the fact that we're now going back to selling our products over the counter. In spite of this very important evolution, we do recognize that we are still very far from where we need to be in terms of digitization of our businesses. So in the next slide, I'm going to go over the specific priority initiatives which we have been developing in this area, and they are currently in progress and supposed to be implemented by the first quarter of 2022. So over here, and this is slide number 8, we can see three main initiatives. The first of them is to meant to accelerate our digital sales, and to do that, we will enable access to our brands to consumers via social media platforms such as WhatsApp and Facebook, in addition to rolling out our digital kiosks for the KFC stores. And second initiative here, we're going to keep strengthening our own delivery platforms with the goal of improving profitability and also improving consumer experience. We will increase the amount of offerings which are done exclusively via the Pizza Hut platform. And also in the first quarter of 2022, we will also launch our new platform for KFC. And to wrap up here, the third point, in order to build loyalty of our customers in the Frango Asado network, we will launch a digital loyalty program with coupons, exclusive offerings, and rewards. And you know, there's a lot of stuff in the pipeline, a lot to be done under our digitization initiatives. Now moving ahead, and let me now talk a little about how that has affected our bottom line and what our results have looked like. If you look at slide number 9, here you can see the global EBITDA of IMC. We got to 77.9 million reais, and which coincidentally, by the way, it was actually the same number that we saw in the second quarter of 2021. However, with a difference that in this quarter, we did not have any non-recurring event which would have otherwise affected our EBITDA. So with that, our recurring result was actually 6 times greater than the one that we had in the same period of last year. We leapt from 12.2 million to 77.9, and almost 2 times greater than the numbers that we saw in the previous quarter. One of the main factors contributing to this result was very clearly the growth that we have seen in our revenues and the consequent operational leveraging of our operations. By better managing our costs and expenses, we were also able to see our EBITDA improve. So now let me talk about this in more detail, and we're now moving on to slide number 10. We can see that the recovery of our operations in Brazil has helped us close the quarter with an EBITDA of 11 million reais, driven by the improvements of the margins that we saw in Pizza Hut, KFC, and in the airport stores. Now, in spite of the fact that we've had significant progress in our sales in Frango Asado restaurants, the weight of the fuel operation has increased, leading to an average margin that is still below what we saw before the pandemic. In the U.S., it is also important to remember, you know, that we have significant impacts from seasonality, that our results for the year were built pretty much throughout the second and third quarters, which also to us represents a significant opportunity. And for that same reason, we have also prioritized the expansion of our businesses into cities in which you have, a less seasonality when it comes to tourist inflow, such as Miami and Newark. And another important point is the operations in the Tucumán Airport in Panama, with strong recovery in revenues and very good operating leverages, that we were able to deliver very consistent results there once again. And even though we still have restrictions to onboard food service in airplanes, we have seen a significant rebound in the catering business within the past few months, and the perspectives for the next few months are actually quite positive, specifically as we are seeing now that international flights are coming back. Looking at the slide, and as I also said in the last quarter, it is very clear that one of our main challenges at IMC is to increase the profitability of our operations here in Brazil. Now let's move on to slide number 11. And we have made significant progress in our financial discipline agenda. As mentioned earlier, we have given assigned higher levels of priority to managing liquidity, allocating investments in operations of greater return, and also by optimizing our costs. And all of that has led us to a debt level of 1.9 times of our EBITDA for the past 12 months, which is actually a level that is much below the one required by our covenants. I should also mention that the company has generated 51 million in terms of operating cash and has generated free cash of 14 million reais, and that's a positive cash flow versus a consumption of 9.5 million on the third quarter of 2020. We're moving on with the resumption of our investments, and we predict that we should open between 30 and 40 stores in the fourth quarter, and they will be concentrated more specifically in our brands at Margaritaville, Frango Asado, KFC, and Pizza Hut. And we are always keeping our discipline in capital allocation and proper liquidity levels. It is important to mention that every one of the brands in our portfolio do show potential for growth. But it is not possible to expand all such businesses at the same time, given the natural restrictions tied to the allocation of resources. Therefore, I made a decision to prioritize investments in these four brands. And simultaneously to that, we are also going through a process in which we are assessing and defining the very best strategic alternatives to maximize the value of the other operations. And now we are making it to the very last slide, and this is slide number 12. In which I'm going to offer some conclusions, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about our transformation agenda, which, as I said, is our guideline, and this is actually what is defining our priorities. We are very much aware of the challenges that we have ahead of us and of the fact that our transformation journey is only beginning. We still have a lot to do. But I can say to you that I am more excited than ever, excited with the results that we had in the third quarter, excited about our team, and excited about the future perspectives and the strength of our brands. And on purpose, since lunchtime is just upon us, I'm ending my presentation with this spectacular picture in slide 13 of one of our irresistible pizzas from Pizza Hut. Maybe you guys can order one for lunch as well, because mine has just made it here. Thank you very much, everyone. Let me yield the floor back to the operator so that we can start the Q&A session. We will now commence the Q&A session for analysts and investors. If you wish to ask questions, please key star 1. If your question is answered, you can leave the queue basically by typing star 2. First question that we have here comes from Carlos Herrera from Condor Insider. Can you please give us a perspective on the progress of your business in the fourth quarter and how you see 2022? What are the main risks and opportunities that you see? Hi, Carlos. Thank you very much for your question. Look, if you look at the fourth quarter, and we have actually shown some numbers here from October, we can see Brazil, still picking up, and as we have seen in the third quarter. So our operations should perform well. Obviously, we are getting into a more seasonal period in the U.S. now, which is a natural thing in this business of ours. As I said earlier, we see that as an opportunity as well for us to increase our sales during the fourth quarter outside of Brazil. But we see an ongoing improvement in general terms in every one of our operations. And out of every business that we have here, the only one that is still, say, lagging behind when you compare it to 2019 is catering, for obvious reasons, because, you have flight restrictions and the onboard meal services, and you have fewer international flights. But I have seen in the past 2 months that things are beginning to pick up again. And we are, you know, optimistic now if you look at November and December, specifically now since the U.S. is open again. So in general terms, I think that in Brazil, we are, you know, recovering. And in the U.S., again, as a part of the seasonal nature of our business in this quarter, the idea is that we should have a somewhat weaker performance because of our presence in, you know, in more, say, touristy locations in the U.S. And if you look at 2022, and, you know, there's a, you know, we have all it takes for us to finish things up at the pace that I have just alluded to here this year. And we see that next year should be an interesting year. Clearly, we have, you know, some uncertain scenarios as well, specifically when it comes to inflation. And we've been following up on that very closely. But if you look at every one of our brands and every one of our businesses, we have a lot of opportunities here in Brazil, a lot of growth opportunities specifically. And I think that we've been focusing a lot on that and looking inwards to really, tidy our operations up and make progress in our digitization agenda so that we can capture a larger chunk of this market, which is really so huge and of which we still have a small share. Thank you for your question, by the way. Our next question comes from Larissa Perez from XP Investimentos. Good morning. This is Larissa from XP Investimentos. Thank you for picking our question. So looking at the transformation decisions at IMC, I mean, I saw a lot of positive things here, and digitization is also a major step forward. So if you could please make a few more comments about, you know, your ideas on using coupons and, you know, your marketing initiatives as well, and then potential changes in the mix. And a second question, you said that the active CRM portfolio at IMC increased by 20%, but it's not clear to us how much that means in terms of, you know, the whole brand. Those are my questions, and thank you very much for your attention. Thank you for your questions. Look, during our presentation, and I think that I made a few comments about it, and we tried to be realistic about it. You know, we still have a lot to improve, a lot to evolve in every area here, you know, CRM and digital activations and coupons as well. We've only started in the Frango Asado restaurants, you know, using those digital coupons. We have a number of other initiatives that have been mapped out. First, do that for Pizza Hut and then KFC as well after we've launched the app. CRM. And insofar as KFC is concerned, we saw a significant increase coming obviously from a somewhat small basis. We are now focusing on that. But as I said, there's still a lot to do. So I'd say that our basis, or the basis that we're starting from here, if I look at the number of individuals, it's about some 300,000 individuals registered with us, and which is still a very, very low number the way we see it. And this only reinforces how much we still have to, progress in this area. But thank you for that question. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, the next question is from Luca Listingi from Sarinvest. What about the progress of divestments in less profitable operations? Are you, seeking potential buyers for these operations? Hi, Luca. Thank you very much for your question. You see, as I commented during the presentation, it is clear now that we are focusing on expanding our four largest brands: Margaritaville, Pizza Hut, KFC, and Frango Asado. And in parallel to that, we are obviously assessing the status of our other brands to see, you know, what the best option should be for them. With that said, we see opportunities here in terms of efficiency improvements in every one of our businesses and every one of the items in our portfolio. And I can tell you that we have no operation operating on the red. See, every one of our operations today, they are delivering results. What we are analyzing, as I said earlier, and I'll say it again, we are basically looking at what we should do from a strategic standpoint. And in parallel, we've also been improving the efficiency of every one of the businesses in our portfolio. But thank you for that question. Okay, so if you wish to ask additional questions, please type star 1. If your question has been answered already, you can leave the queue by typing star 2. Well, apparently there are no other questions. We have one question now from Mr. Francisco Villa from Lugano. Hi, everyone. Good morning, Mr. Santoro. My question has to do with the expansion of Frango Assado. And after nearly 8 years, right, I mean, you have opened now a new store in Guará in partnership with the Monte Carlo Network. I'd like you to please make a few more comments about what this strategy looks like today and potential negotiations for the purchase of brownfield points and what we might see of additional activity into 2022, considering that now I think that if you look at your at the operational issues, it's become stabler now. You have a central kitchen and the executive director is now sorted out, and marketing and strategy, all of that. If you could please tell us a little bit more about that, and more specifically, and what concerns the expansion of Frango Assado and negotiation of potential future points of sale. Hi, Francisco. Thank you for that question. Yes, I have to say that we are very excited with the new store that was open, the Frango Assado store, which was open a week ago. And yes, I have to say that we've been working really hard. And in a few cases, we've been working with other partners, which is the case of Monte Carlo. We've also been engaging in conversations with Araisi, as you know. And we are now in a process of really mapping out and setting up the points of sale in which we think we should basically accelerate this expansion. And we see a huge potential here. One of our competitors, for instance, they have twice as many stores as we do. And when you go to some of those highways in which you really have a lot of traffic, which is the case of the Dutra Highway here in Brazil, and they have 8 stores there, and we have 2 or 3 maybe. So, there's really a lot of opportunities, and evidently what we are doing now is to basically narrow them down to see what we will do next year. But I should reinforce the fact that as a part of our plans, yes, we do plan on resuming accelerating the expansion of Frango Assado next year. And we are just now defining the sites for those new stores. And we are basically prioritizing the idea of having, brownfield operations, as you said yourself, in which we operate the restaurant and not the service station. Okay. Thank you again for your question. Thank you for your answer. Excellent answer, by the way. Our next question comes from Leonardo de Barros. What is the status of the rights to KFC? Hello, Leonardo, and thank you for your question. You see, nothing changes about those rights. We are still the master franchisor of franchisee of KFC in Brazil, and you have seen in a presentation, we've opened our own stores. And we are, as a master franchisee, we also have partnerships with other franchisees. So we've also seen, other stores being opened with franchisees. And since we have a discussion, it's a legal discussion, and it's under arbitration right now, so I can't give you a lot of detail. But KFC, again, as far as the rights go, nothing changes. We're still a master franchisee in Brazil. It is a brand that we like a lot. It is a brand for which we see a lot of potential. And I have been working personally with the folks from KFC so that we can try and find an alternative to litigation. But again, this is a legal discussion right now. This is all I can say right now. But again, we're moving on very strongly, expanding this year. And next year, we also plan to have a lot of expansion for KFC. Okay, since there are no more questions, let me now yield the floor to Mr. Santoro for his closing remarks. Thank you very much, Sheila, and thank you very much, everyone who was here with us today. Thank you, and quite certainly, we will be in touch with some of you within the next few weeks. I wish you all a great day, because now I'm going to have some pizza here, guys. Thank you very much, and goodbye. So the teleconference for IMC is now adjourned. Thank you very much for being here. Have a great day.